Hello, it's Peter Wright and Kathleen Beauvais with another episode of The Yakking Show. And this is the Harmony, Your Path to Wholeness channel. And we lead you along that path to wholeness by bringing you interesting, experienced guests. And today will be no exception. I'm really looking forward to this one, but I don't want to steal Kathleen's thunder. So first, let's say hello to co-host Kathleen Beauvais. Hi, Kathleen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Peter. Thank you so much. And thank you all so very much for tuning in to our show. We so appreciate having you. And as Peter mentioned, we do have another special guest with us today. We are so lucky to welcome Pat Wetzel to the show. Hello, Pat. How are you?
Hi, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Now, Pat is the author of the book series, Bump in the Road, as well as a podcast host. But today she's here to yak with us about overcoming adversity. So let's just jump right in. Pat, how can we prevent bumps in the road of life from holding us back from living our best life?
It is absolutely about attitude. Everybody hits a bump. Nobody escapes this earth without more than a few bumps, some of which are pretty serious. And one of the questions I often ask myself is, when I encounter a bump, what can I learn? Because if you look at this life voyage as a learning journey, every bump is there to teach you. So I think the key thing is to be open-minded, to step back from the immediate threat you may perceive, and ask, what can I learn here? Because what you learn, you'll carry forward, and hopefully you won't encounter that same bump again.
Well said.
Yeah. So it might be the same answer you're going to give for this question. Why do some people seem to float over those bumps effortlessly and others get derailed? That's a mixed metaphor, talking rail and road. But anyway, you know what I'm getting at. Some people end up in the ditch. That's probably better. What's the difference?
It's pretty complex, I think. I think, first of all, we all get derailed sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it usually goes towards something in our past that dictates our behavior or perspective of things. I mean, everybody has some dysfunction from their childhood. I often say that we spend the first half of our life having all this stuff heaped upon us, and the second half of our life trying to peel it off and figure out who we are. So I think that when one hits a bump, you have to look to yourself. The answer lies within, without question. Mm-hmm. And depending on you and your makeup, some bumps may be trivial for you and huge for others, and vice versa. In terms of moving forward, what was the second half of the question again, if I could ask?
Just why does it derail some people or throw them into the ditch and others seem to float over effortlessly?
I think the other part, I don't think anyone floats too effortlessly, but I do think an attitude of curiosity and learning helps you navigate these bumps much more easily. I think one of the key elements is to get moving. No matter how unhappy you are, no matter how awful the bump, nothing's going to change until you get some energy into the equation and you get moving. So that first step may be the hardest step you ever take. It can be so hard. But if you make that first step, you can make another one, small steps. And all of a sudden, the energy starts to flow. And all of a sudden, you're on a new path. And this isn't linear. There's no right or wrong. You may take a bit of a detour, and that's okay too, because it's about experience. It's not about this hierarchical Instagram perfect world that we live in. That's not reality.
That's right. Sorry, Kathleen, can I just jump back in with an observation? Pat's triggered something. Pat, before we switched into the wholeness category, we were exclusively business-oriented with our podcast. And in over 300 episodes on the Business Channel, we asked all our successful business guests our burning question number 8, what's the difference between people who succeed and those who remain average? And you just said curiosity and learning, constant learning. That came up more times. That was probably one of the most popular answers to that specific question. So you've just reminded us of that as well, and our audience, of how important that is. So thanks for that.
Well, the other thing I would say, too, is getting out of your comfort zone, becoming comfortable with discomfort. One of my guests tells a great story. I tell this far too often, but it's such a good story for this. Eric Weinmayer, he's a world-renowned mountain climber. He went blind at 16.
Wow.
He went on to climb Everest, the Seven Summits, and kayak the Colorado River rapids. It took him 8 years to navigate those rapids, to prepare and get ready for it. Anyway, Eric tells a story. This is his story. He divides the world into three groups. Now, we're all part of each of these groups at different points in time, and the groups are fluid. We all move between them. The first group are quitters, self-evident. The second group are campers. These are people who want to stay in their comfort zone no matter what. And in all fairness to them, they may be so beaten up by life that they don't want to put their head outside the foxhole anymore. Then very few people are climbers, but these are the people that realize and actualize life. And what I would wish for everybody is for you to move from being a camper to a climber, or at least start doing that more and more often, because your life will become so much more interesting and rich.
Oh, I love that
Ah,
analogy. I really do. That
yeah.
really hit home. I really appreciate that.
And for our audience, that story is on Pat's website. There'll be a link in the description of this. And I actually looked at or listened to her short episode of that story this morning before we started talking. It's well worth going to. Sorry, Kathleen, back to you.
So Pat, you were talking about it's our attitude. It's either holding us back or helping us push ourselves forward. But when somebody is faced with a trauma or some sort of adversity, and you know, emotions are emotions, it's what they're feeling, and they may be, you know, it feels like they're just drowning in sorrow or what have you. Do you have any tips on how somebody can push through all of that and change that attitude into one of positivity? What can they do to change that?
First, recognize you need to be where you are for a bit. Your emotions are there for a reason. But don't get mired in negative emotions. You have to, that's where that taking that first baby step is so important. It could just be driving a different way. It might be taking a class. It could be listening to something on YouTube, something very non-threatening, but outside your normal comfort zone. Prepare for some change and make small changes, because as you make more and more small changes, they can evolve into larger changes. And the other thing I would note is that a lot of these traumatic experiences last years, they don't turn around on a dime. So give yourself some grace. You may be going through a really difficult part in a really difficult time in one part of your life, but maybe there's another part of your life that's expanding. And some interesting things are happening. And you can hold that dichotomy, that duality, and live in both, but start setting your goals for where you want to be. And slowly, over time, you will move in that direction. And the other thing I would say to somebody is don't hesitate to get some help and talk to somebody. We all need some perspective, I think, when we hit a serious bump. And the more you can gain perspective and reconcile what's going on, the more capable you'll be of moving on.
And it's okay to ask for help. There's no weakness in asking for help at all. I think it's a sign of strength, actually, don't you?
Yeah, I would agree. Absolutely. Well-trained people will help you question your own dialogue, will help you see new truths, will help you dispel illusions that aren't real.
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%. So Pat, what made you write this book series, Bump in the Road, and what lessons have you learned from it? So tell us
Many.
about it. Tell us about this book series.
Well, the book evolved out of the podcast because I realized about a little over a year into the podcast, I had these extraordinary guests with extraordinary stories. And I wanted to put them out in the world in a different way. So the first book really almost wrote itself. I introduced myself a little bit in the book, but it's really about my guests and their strengths and their qualities and some of the conclusions that can come out of all these stories. The next book, I'm not sure. I've been reevaluating this a little bit, actually. I thought it was going to be Bump in the Road, Strong Women, and it may be. But there are some other ideas floating out there. So as I mull it over, I'll come to a decision at some point.
Well,
Yeah,
might
good.
I suggest, if you're going into a different direction and not just focusing on women in your next series, Pat, I would suggest you interview my wonderful colleague here, Peter, because boy, does he have a story to tell, and he's written his book about it. But oh,
Well, Peter,
what a story, I'll tell you.
you're getting an email.
I thought I might have, but this show, this episode is not about me, it's about you,
I
Pat.
know, but
So,
I just had to mention that, Pat, Peter.
Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I've got an observation, and again, it comes a little bit from my devious mind, that when you were talking about it's okay to get help, that message is not well received by men of my generation, let me tell you. When I was going through all the crap we went through on many occasions, the last thing on my mind was asking anyone else, any professional, for help. I did talk to people who were going through the same sort of thing as me and learn and get support from them. But the idea of going to a professional was just a no-no. It's a generational thing, and it holds a lot of men back. I'm first to admit that. So I appreciate both of you ladies reinforcing that. So slightly different direction, Pat. Do you think that the ability to build resilience increases incrementally as one overcomes one challenge or hurdle or bout of adversity and gets back to something like normal? Is one better placed then for the next episode?
I think so. One of my guests, Martha McSally, who was the first woman to fly in combat for the Army, I think it was, no, it was for the Air Force, forgive me. She said, courage is a muscle. The more you use it, the more you build it. And I think that applies to things like resilience. I think the other piece is learning to step back. One of the things I say is take this bump, tell your story three different ways. Tell it from a perspective of anger, of gratitude, of love, of curiosity, name your perspective. All of a sudden, you start to see it is only a story. You get to tell it however you want, and it's not black and white. It's very gray usually. And I think that when you start to recognize that, it helps you move forward. And again, moving forward is always baby steps, and that's how you build resilience. You don't go into the gym on the first day and become a bodybuilder. It just doesn't work that way.
That's right. That's right. Just leading on from that, do you think, and I'm thinking about you taking risks in your soaring 30,000 feet above Mount Cook, for instance, and I ran ultramarathons, there's a picture behind me there. Do you think overcoming physical adversity and facing the fear in physical challenges also helps you build that resilience for life's challenges in general that might not be physical? Do you think there's a
Absolutely.
correlation?
I think there's a huge correlation, and I think sports are really important in terms of building. It can be individual strengths, it can be, collective strengths on a team, depending on what you're doing. I think sports are a great metaphor because we all understand a sport. And I think from that, you can draw a lot of wisdom that is absolutely applicable to the rest of your life.
Absolutely. When I was going through some really bad parts, which we won't go into now, one of the things that kept me going was thinking back to that first ultramarathon. Well, I did many, but thinking when I was feeling really tired and absolutely finished, all I had to do was put one foot in front of the other, and if I could just keep doing that, I'd hit the finish line. And yes, it was going to be painful, but I'd get there. And that helped in the other situations tremendously, that experience. So thanks for that. Kathleen, back to you.
I tell a story in the book if talking about patience, but it's the same thing. I was flying in a racing camp. I had no business being there, but I was in this racing camp, and we all split up and we went out and we all got lost, and I was more lost than most. That's not unusual. This is in the days before GPS. But at any rate, I'm losing altitude in this valley. I called it the Valley of Sync. No matter what I did, I could not find any lift. And I'm usually pretty good at staying aloft. So I see a school. I come down over the school roof, and it has one of those black tar roofs, right?
Right.
So I'm not looking to land on this, and I can't make it to the fields. There's no big soccer field. I mean, I am not in a good situation. But I turn around on that roof, and the first turn, I lose 45 feet. Then the plane stabilizes. I circled around hoping that some warm bubble of air would burst off that roof. 40 minutes around and around and around. And all of a sudden, boom, a thermal kicked off, and I rode it up to 6,000 feet.
Wow.
Whoa. So it's kind of a metaphor for perseverance.
Absolutely.
Wow,
Hey, amazing.
that's incredible. Well, I know we talked about attitude, but when you were talking to your guests, is there a common element on how people navigate bumps in the road? Do you see a common thread there?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of common threads, actually. Certainly, a willingness to get out of your comfort zone is part of it.
Right.
A willingness to challenge your beliefs, and that may mean challenging your very identity, which is really terrifying for a lot of people. But I
Absolutely.
think the people who are most successful are willing to take on these sorts of challenges. I think gratitude is a big piece of the equation. I think there's also an element of surrender, that there are some things you can't fight. And as you surrender, maybe that resistance that you have starts to dissipate and you can see a new way forward.
Very,
Excellent.
very true. What about parenting? Do you think that parents of, sorry, children of parents who allow them to take risks develop resilience earlier in life and are better able to cope with challenges than children of helicopter parents who mollycoddle them and cosset them all the time?
My inclination is to say yes, I am only the parent of quadrupeds and they are spoiled rotten. So I'm a helicopter parent when it comes to my pets. But I think, yeah, early on, the ability to let kids fail, let them
Yeah.
figure it out. And that's another great role of sports, in my opinion.
Sure.
You learn all these mini lessons along the way, and they are very applicable to the real world. I know growing up, my family traveled a great deal. I got totally lost in Paris one year as a kid. Don't even ask me how old I was, always young. But I coped. I figured it out. I figured it out. I could get to the metro. I could look at the map. I could figure out how to get back. And I had numerous, I think, experiences like that. And I don't know. I don't know if they're directly correlated. But they certainly have given me confidence to just go plunge into the unknown because I have the confidence I will figure it out.
Yeah, very good. I agree 100%. I give you an example. My older son is now 48, I guess. When he was 18, he didn't know what to do and he didn't want to go to university because he just had no idea what to do. So I said, come work for me for 6 months and I want you to do a short course at a private college. So you've got a bit of paper and then whatever you want, you go for it. So while he was working for me, I said, I was living in South Africa, I was loading cargo 3 countries north. And I said, I need someone to go and supervise loading, but you can't take a South African car because of sanctions. They don't like South African cars. You'll get on a bus, you'll go to the next country, Zimbabwe. My brother will lend you a car, bang, bang, bang. And I said, and they'll search you at the border when you come back because they'll think you're smuggling drugs, being a young white guy. Do you think you can handle it? He's 18. And he said, yep. So off he went. He did admirably, got searched. They stripped his car, seats out, everything, but he kept his cool. So then he moved to Canada way before I did. And in the last couple of years, we're having a beer one day and he says, Dad, you remember that trip you sent me on? I said, yeah. He said, that was the best education you could ever have given me in life. So that to me is why we should let kids learn early on and not protect them from all the hardships of life. Anyway, that was just part of response to what you were saying. Sorry, I'm babbling on. Kathleen, back to you.
No, I agree with you, Peter, because I know some teachers that are and blew my mind that they're not allowed to fail children. I wasn't even aware of that. And also, when they're playing games, there are no losers or winners. Everybody, and it's just a very strange way of thinking now. And I don't know if it's a disservice to children by doing that. But just to carry on, what's one tip you can give someone that is actually currently experiencing a life crisis today? What tip can you give to somebody listening right now?
Know that it will end. This does not go on forever. And in that regard, it is a bump in the road. How big a bump it is, it may be huge, but it's also up to you to decide how big you want it to be. And use that bump to propel you into a better, more authentic life. Look within, figure out what you might want to learn, and have the courage to take that step and move forward.
Very good. Very good. We have a couple of minutes in hand. So, Pat, I've read your story and I'm absolutely amazed at what you've got through, all the bumps in your life that you've got over. I don't want to steal your words and I don't want to say things you might not want shared. You've got the floor for the next few minutes. Would you like to tell our audience a little bit of your story that's relevant?
Oh, I divide my story into three parts. The first one is Life Wish, Death Wish. Actually, the Life Wish, Death Wish having to do with serious illness, divorce, and learning to fly. Obviously, the flying was a life wish part of it that carried it forward. Then there's a period of cancer that was really changed my perspective on many things. And then I would say the chapter after that is one of restarting and re-exploring and really going within to decide what my future path should be.
Well, interesting. And I, as an animal lover and dog and horse owner for most of my life, you mentioned quadrupeds. So are your quadrupeds large or small? I'm interested.
They're dogs and cats.
Dogs and cats. Okay. Well, you're in good company with the cats. Kathleen has two, and we have in our house we have six cats. So no dogs at the moment.
The love
And
of my
horses have
life
gone.
was a cat.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. Wow. So I've got one for you that we ask all our guests on our wholeness channel. We're trying to give people signals and tips that they can use to navigate the somewhat stormy waters we see ahead. Not that I think it's all doom and gloom for any reason. From your area of expertise, I'm talking about our audience now who may not be going through a bump in the road right at the moment. They're coasting along in life. Is there one suggestion or tip you could give our listeners that would improve their outlook on life?
One thing I often suggest to people is meditation. I think meditation is magic. And it's magic for a number of reasons. Do we have a few minutes on this
Sure,
today?
yeah, we do.
Okay. Meditation has several different elements to it. And I got into meditation going through cancer, and that's a story unto itself. But meditation is very experiential, and that's why it's so powerful. Now, first, it's a discipline. You meditate every day, right? Once or twice a day, or whatever you decide. You do not have to sit cross-legged on the floor and go to an exotic locale for 6 weeks. Meditation is simple. There's walking meditation, lots of different ways to do this, but there's also a discipline behind it. With that discipline, you start to quiet your mind. And when your mind gets quiet, you can observe your thoughts. That is remarkable. And that becomes a skill you can take into your everyday life. You can pause and actually be the observer in terms of what's happening to you and others. And there's a space where you can make a conscious decision about how you react. And as you go through these experiences, this is experiential. It stays with you. And I liken it to eating chocolate, okay? If you could read about chocolate all day long, white chocolate, dark chocolate, milk chocolate, nuts, coconut, you name it, lots of different kinds of chocolate. But it doesn't teach you or inform you what chocolate tastes like. Meditation's the same thing, it's experiential. So as you go through this experience of quieting your mind, as you go through this experience of taking that peace and quiet with you wherever you go, it's an experience that you have and you hold, and it changes everything. Road rage is a thing of the past. You just develop, I think, a serenity that is infinitely valuable.
And how did
Yeah.
that help you with your cancer, may I ask? How did that help you probably overcome cancer too, right?
Well, it was one of the elements. I really revamped my whole life from a health perspective. And my life wasn't unhealthy to begin with. I just got really healthy. But meditation gave me a place of peace. There are so many stories associated with this. I think that most of all, it was that sense of peace, the sense, that experiential sense that there is another way to live, that is to live in that peace. And that it's your choice in terms of what you integrate into your life.
Interesting.
Love
One of the difficulties I've experienced, and I tried religiously for about 3 years to meditate for 5 minutes every morning before I started work, and I've since stopped. I sort of meditate when I'm having my morning walk. I walk 40 minutes every morning as well. But I found I could not empty my mind. My mind was going all over the place. I tried repeating a mantra, that helped a bit. I tried meditative music, didn't help. So eventually I gave up. So what are, and I know from talking to many people, they have the same experience. They cannot still their mind. How do you manage that?
I got into transcendental meditation, which uses a mantra. And I've been meditating for probably close to 15 years now. So for me, it's become habit, but I still have times where my mind is busy. And that's where the discipline piece of it comes in. I can recognize my mind is busy. I can recognize I'm not being still. And I can work on getting my mind still. I mean, it's a practice. Nothing's perfect. You have to do this again and again. A lot of people say that they cannot get their mind still, but I bet maybe when they're knitting, maybe when they're gardening, maybe when they're out in nature, they experience that stillness. That's meditation too. So I think that there is an avenue into meditation for everyone. It's going to take practice to find it. And you can meditate on a topic. Think about walking a labyrinth with a topic in mind. I think labyrinths are fascinating for meditation. So don't get stuck in that visual of, om,
No,
sitting
sure.
on a deck overlooking, the jungle and the water and everything. There are lots of ways to integrate this in a very practical way into your everyday life.
Okay. So I get that when I'm walking. I get to that calm, not worrying about my mind's not occupied on business or day-to-day stuff. It does go different places, but they're all calm and peaceful. So yeah, okay. I get it that way. Oh, thank you for that.
And you're probably meditating and not even, consciously aware that you're meditating, right? Because you've entered a space where you've quieted your mind and you're at peace and you're allowing your thoughts to just flow to whatever it is.
Or no thought.
Pardon
I
me?
was able to drop into no thought pretty quickly. I
No
don't know
thoughts, yeah.
why. But it's been a, and I don't have it all the time, but it's been an absolute blessing to have that space.
What I did find is having the ability to still my mind, even if I can't get rid of all the thoughts, I use that when I was going through a couple of bad stretches, but particularly I had to have a lot of dental work done, and it was long and painful over many weeks. And I could transport myself onto the back of my horse on an evening ride that I remembered, and that helped me tolerate the pain and discomfort. So that's, it's not meditation, but it's using that sort of principle that I found helped me with the pain. So yeah, good one.
I think the other place we can find meditation, not in the case of pain like that, but is an intense presence where we're so present that nothing exists but this moment now. And that immediately causes all these peripheral thoughts to disappear.
That's
So I
true.
think cultivating presence is another really important part of the equation. And it's not easy. I think you have to work at this. Now, sometimes you get into that flow. Maybe it's writing, maybe it's flying, maybe it's walking. And that it's just a gift that comes together. But I would say learning to be aware and cultivate presence is a big piece of the equation too. Right.
Thanks, Pat.
Wow.
Good. Kathleen, back to
Well,
you.
yes, and we are almost out of time, Pat,
Oh.
but it's what a pleasure having you on the show. We're going to have you back. But how do
The
people contact you? Contact you.
best place is bumpintheroad.us. We're on all major podcast platforms, YouTube, Substack, and all the information is on the website, bumpintheroad.us, including information on the book and links to Amazon. Fantastic.
Excellent. And from me, again, Pat, thank you so much for coming on our show. Been really good, and I'm enjoying reading your stories and your website. And again, encourage everyone to go and have a look at some of those stories. It'll really make you think. So thank you. Thanks to the audience for listening. And we've had another really interesting guest today. So to make sure you don't miss out on future guests coming in and we have a lot of interesting guests lined up. Sign up for our newsletter. Hop onto our website, theyakingshow.com. Hit the purple button at the top or bottom of the page. We only send you one email a week. We just tell you who's on this week and who's coming next week. That's it. Thanks, Pat. Bye from me. Back to Kathleen.
Well, thank you all so very much for tuning into our show. Thank you again, Pat. And if anyone is interested in being a guest on our show, please visit us at theyakkingshow.com. All you need to do is click on the Contacts tab where you will find a short application form, and we'd love to hear from you. So until next time, take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.